148 years ago to the day, with the United States still reeling in the aftermath of the Civil War, it's the deadliest war in America's history, General John Logan called for a nationwide day of remembrance, stating, "The 30th of May, 1868, is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country, whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, hamlet, and churchyard in the land." It was called Decoration Day then, and it's Memorial Day today. Our country sets aside an entire day, the last Monday in May, to break us from our normal routines and allow us time, give us time to remember and honor those who died in military service to our country and to celebrate the freedom that they secured for us. But think about how easy it is to allow Memorial Day to devolve into Barbecue Day. It is easy, isn't it? Like, it's an extra day off. It's a day maybe to dash to California to get out of the heat, an extra day with family or to get projects done, maybe just an excuse to use the grill. It would be so easy. It is so easy to take a whole day designated to break us from the pattern of our normal life, to call our minds back to lives lost. It's easy to spend that day without even a thought. For many of us, it could be well said in the midst of the barbecues tomorrow or whatever else you have planned that it's not Memorial Day that we celebrate, but something else. Right? The way that some eat and drink on Memorial Day, the way that they think, reveals that it's not actually Memorial Day. You know, that might be some, there might be some corrective for us there, but how much more should we remember rightly the Lord's Supper? Paul had a similar, but much more serious charge than maybe the way that we abuse Memorial Day. Paul had a similar, but much more serious charge against the Corinthians. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 11:20. And consider this charge in regards to something infinitely more precious, infinitely more important than Memorial Day. It's the death of the God the Son to secure eternal life for all who would believe in him. Paul told the Corinthians, "Therefore, when you meet together, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper." Right, the Corinthians were indeed getting together to do something that looked like the Lord's Supper, something that they thought was the Lord's Supper. It looked like, they thought, like what Jesus did the night before he died, when taking bread, he broke it saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And the Corinthians assuredly took wine, like Jesus did when he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Yet Paul could accurately tell the Corinthians that when they took that bread, when they took that cup, it wasn't the Lord's Supper that they ate, but something else entirely. Why was that? The Corinthians' manner of thinking and living as they ate and drank was inconsistent with that which they claimed to be remembering. The Corinthians' manner of thinking and living as they ate and drank was inconsistent with that which they claimed to be remembering. And as a result, they weren't taking the Lord's Supper. What about you? Consider your manner of thinking and living as you eat and drink. Right? The Corinthians were sinning through their partiality. That's the very sin that Josh has been warning us about the last two sermons in taking the Lord's Supper. Paul wrote in the next verse, verse 21 of chapter 11, "For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and another is drunk." What is that? And then he goes on to rebuke their practice by teaching what the Lord's Supper actually is. This meal, this remembrance, the bread, the juice, they're a remembrance and a proclamation of Jesus and his death on our behalf. And we are to remember appropriately, have call to mind in the right way, and ensure that we're living in a way consistent with that which we're proclaiming. Right? Since the very first man and woman, Adam and Eve, all of humanity, all of us have been in sin against God our Creator. We were created to glorify God, but every single one of us, not just humanity in general, but you in particular, me in particular, from our very earliest acts, refused to honor God in our thoughts, in our actions. We sin from the heart. Right? This sin is high treason against the King of the universe, and the right and just consequence for that sin against that eternal God is eternal death, eternal suffering. I deserve eternal punishment. You deserve eternal punishment. We all of humanity, stand before God as his enemies, and divine justice should cast us all into eternal torment for eternity. But in love, God the Father sent God the Son, Jesus, to suffer in our place. God cannot just ignore sin, right? Instead, Jesus suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus died in the place of all who believe in him. Our sin was placed on him. We're clothed in his perfection. We are forgiven. We are justified. We're given new hearts, and we're reconciled to God, united together in the church to enjoy him for eternity. Look around. Nobody in this room, nobody can be said to be part of this church because they were good enough, did the right things. No, every single one of us has eternal life, if we have it, solely based on the work of Jesus on the cross on our behalf. But the Corinthians proved in the way that they ate and drank the bread and juice that they were not actually remembering that glorious gospel. They weren't proclaiming Jesus' death. Instead, they were doing something else. They were not actually eating the Lord's Supper. And as a result, a number of them were actually disciplined by God to the point of being sick and dying. So guys, if it's important to this Memorial Day to be mindful of those who died for our country, how much more important is it this morning to actually remember Jesus as we eat and drink? So first off, if you're not a believer, if you have not put your faith in Jesus for your salvation, for forgiveness of sins, reconciliation to God, then this time isn't for you. If you're not a Christian, please don't take the bread and juice. When it comes, just pass it on. But let me beg you, why not believe? You are God's enemy under his wrath. That is an objective reality. Whether you believe that or not does not change the truth that you're a sinner and that God's wrath abides on you. But if you would only believe, your position to God can be totally changed. You can move from his enemy to his son, his daughter. You can go from justly deserving wrath to, because of Jesus' righteousness placed on you, no merit of your own, but Jesus is alone meriting eternal life. Please believe. Don't leave today without talking to me. Whoever brought you, somebody sitting next to you, just this is the most important thing, the most important news you could ever hear. Please believe. But if you won't, just let the bread and juice pass. But Christian, there are a number of ways that you might be in danger of not remembering Jesus, not proclaiming his death, actually doing something today that's not the Lord's Supper. I can't tell you all of them. Here's a few ways that you might do that, but Scripture commands you to examine yourself. And in so doing, eat the bread and take the cup. Right? It doesn't say examine yourself and then decide whether or not to. It says examine yourself and then take. The necessary implication is where you see your life is being inconsistent or your thinking being inconsistent with that which we remember and proclaim, you confess it as sin and you repent. And then you take. So let me give you some ways that you might, without care, take the bread and juice in a way that would be in danger of making it something other than the Lord's Supper. Maybe thoughtlessly, out of habit. This is just what we do at this point in the service. Maybe with pride. If there's some selfishness, thinking of yourself now. Where's your mind been in the last half hour, the last day? Maybe with an unloving attitude towards anybody. The person sitting next to you, a family member, coworker, a friend. Perhaps with a self-justifying confidence, you come saying, I'm good to take the Lord's Supper today. I've had a really good week filled with obedience. And that confidence might reveal that you're actually confident in your own merit, trying to self-justify instead of placing your confidence solely in Jesus and his justification, in his merit. Maybe by not confessing or repenting of known sin in your life. If there's that sin that you just won't give up, maybe next week you're saying you'll confess it. No, now is the time. Maybe it's while not doing whatever you can to live at peace with another person in the church. If that's you, confess it as sin to God and make steps towards repentance and then take and eat and drink. I could keep going. But the point is, make sure that it is the Lord's Supper that you're celebrating this morning. By examining yourself, confessing sin and turning from it, and then remembering Jesus and proclaiming his death as you take the bread and juice.